Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. This is Cheryl Catherine Smith introducing our show. We're calling it the Hologram Backstory. Here we have our artists, Ash Riot, myself, Cheryl Catherine Smith, and Kevin Stewart Swain, explaining a little bit about their own musical backgrounds, what brought them to Hologram, sharing some of their own creations, and just letting you know a little bit about us as artists and a little bit about our work prior to Hologram. And we are going to be starting with Ash Riot, then I will be speaking, Cheryl Catherine Smith, and finally Kevin Stewart Swain. We welcome you to listen. Unfortunately, we're not going to be taking calls, but if you're interested in knowing more about anything we're discussing, please email us at info@hologram.com. Once again, thank you for listening to our show, and now we will begin Hologram, the Backstory.
Hi, I'm Ash Riot, and I am here to talk about a few of my songs, and the first one being Slow Blood. Slow Blood is probably one of the songs that is most dear to my heart. I have it tattooed on my arm, even. And it was one of the first songs I'd written after I took a hiatus from the previous album that I put out in 2005. I had always wanted to have the inspiration to write again, but it just wasn't happening. And no matter how hard I tried, whatever experience I tried to have, the songs just weren't coming. And I remember falling in love, and I remember trying to figure all that out, and how that didn't even make the songs come out. And finally, I in the most unlikely of places, I was sitting on the beach in White Rock, and it was my friend's birthday party. And we're having a bonfire, and I remember just being like huddled in blankets and playing actually Cold Water Romance to a friend of mine on the beach. And in that moment of playing another song, this new song, Slow Blood, was born. And all the events of that evening just really stuck in my head. And I went, oh, that's what it's like when you need to write a song. It's not trying to write something so you can just fill a void in a song or a verse or a chorus. It's actually, the meaning is so, it's needed. The experience is needed, and not just rhymes and not just rhythm. So I remember going home that evening and still thinking, okay, yeah, I'm feeling ready. I'm feeling ready to write a song. And I remember sitting on my couch and almost just nodding off a little bit, being so tired. And before I could pass out, I woke up, grabbed my guitar, and the song came out in like 10 minutes. And it was so apparent that it needed to come out. It was like the song chose me. It feels like I can't even really take credit for writing the song, because even though I wrote it, just because it was so forceful. And that was my experience writing the song. Just instead of worrying about writing a song, the song wrote me, which is really important. And the person who the song's about actually has this tattooed on their arm, Slow Blood as well. They know the song's about them. And it's something special, even though we don't speak anymore. I hope you enjoy this song.
Oxygen and eloquence. I don't care if it's 1 a.m. Don't care if it's us first then. We sway with the tide tonight that brought us both in again. But it's too late to fall. strong, baby. What's inside your head? Here in the backseat, holding hands with hesitance. I'll sleep on the glass you swept, the slow blood of a promise kept. We burn with the fire tonight that brought us both back again. But it's too late to fall when you're dead.
This song is called Heroin Halo, and I had written it quite a few years ago. I remember just sitting in my room, having this chord progression and not really knowing what I wanted to do with it. And I was listening to some music, actually, at the time, that was just playing it. And all of a sudden, I just had this overwhelming urge to talk about what the glamour of the drug industry and how it was affecting me and my thoughts. And even delusional thoughts. Like I would think that, you know, using drugs could be okay. Or, if I wanted to get my songs, you know, into certain hands, I'd have to experience what the people whose hands are experiencing it. Like I didn't want to necessarily be myself. And that's what scared me. I didn't want to use drugs and I didn't want to, open myself up to that. But I kind of put myself in that position in the song, the character. Somebody who really let what they wanted and who they wanted to be slide for the sake of a music industry, for the sake of credit, for the sake of just kind of the street credit. You know, like, oh, I've done this, I've done that, and that makes my art more valid. And it took me a while to really realize that you could be sober. Because to be sober to me is to actually feel. And it took me a long time to realize that you don't have to be screwed up to feel. It doesn't make songs any more deep. It doesn't make them any more meaningful, just because you've had to go through hell to create them. So this song is really just about waking up one morning and just mesmerized by just staring at the window and the blinds that were closed and remembering being high and remembering how it just doesn't serve what I want to do. So yeah, when you listen to this song, just think of somebody who's already woken up, not somebody who's still kind of in the depths of that despair. And that's what I want people to hear when they listen to this.
She's pretty young when she's
This song is called Kawada Romance, and I had never, ever, ever, ever written a love song. I never wanted to open myself up to that degree, and I had finally decided enough was enough when my heart was being torn from my chest and felt like it was being eaten by vultures. So I decided I needed to get it out in a song. I was in a relationship that was really just really, really not serving me anymore. It was, you know, I still wanted to hang on because I was in love, but it just wasn't happening. It was really stunting me, and I needed to move on. But I needed to say goodbye or something. I just needed to feel that I could express why it wasn't working, and not so much with reasons, but through imagery. Because I think imagery is one of the strongest ways of communication. It doesn't even need to be so much as "you hurt me, I'm leaving." It can just be like, "this is what you make me feel, and if you feel this way as well, why would you want to stay in a situation that really just destroyed you?" But with this song, I wanted to really make it pretty. I wanted to mix lyrics that, you know, just despairing lyrics, but be able to marry that with really kind of soft music that just kind of said goodbye, but not a angry heavy metal goodbye. More so just a soft thanks but no thanks kind of vibe. So if, you know, I even got a lot of feedback from some of the, you know, heaviest dudes in the punk rock world and you know, just telling me that the song touched them. And to me, that's what I wanted to achieve. I wanted to make somebody who listened to the music that just has nothing to do with what I'm doing, just, you know, the head banging, let's mosh and screw the whole audience up with just the animosity and the angst. I wanted them to get this, and it seems like it did. So that's the power of music and the message. It doesn't always have to be cohesive between words and music. Someone can get the music, someone can get the lyrics, and still really feel something. So that was this song. It was my goodbye to a lover and kind of saying hello again to myself. Hey, this is Ash Riot again, and I just wanted to thank all of you for listening to the songs that I've created and listening to my explanations and a little bit of the backstory on them. I'd like to turn it over now to Cheryl Catherine Smith, and her songs are great, so take a listen.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Catherine Smith, and my first song that I want to speak about is All Dark Places. All Dark Places is a song that came to me first in lyric and then in melody. I had been in a recovery facility because I was a drug addicted person whose life had become quite unmanageable on many levels, to include a suicide attempt. My relationship with drugs began in 93 when I was diagnosed as clinically depressed and put on a steady course of antidepressants as well as anti-anxiety medication. I think I probably was taking sleeping pills as well. I had trouble sleeping. I was depressed, but it wasn't something that I think I needed medication for, but I didn't know that at the time. I trusted that diagnosis. It seemed to make sense. And foolish me, on top of that, decided to self-medicate. And for those of you who have explored and experienced drugs, you know, it's always about trying to find the perfect high. And sometimes the perfect high is just to be feeling okay. It doesn't even have to be about euphoria or a sense of ecstasy. A lot of it for me was just feeling okay. Not feeling that my life was crap, not feeling that my existence had no meaning. I just wanted to feel connected. I wanted to feel a sense of myself, a sense of my connection to the higher good. And I didn't have that. So I spent many years self-medicating as well as using prescription drugs. Not a good combination. I honestly can't remember a lot of my life from that time. But needless to say, it's a big part of my story. I've told it and shared it quite openly because I think it's important for us to share our truths with each other, especially our pain, so that we recognize that we're not alone. And those of us who've gone before and have come out of it can give us great strength and great inspiration and great hope. So All Dark Places was kind of my yay song. I had already been in recovery, I think, for a few months. I was starting to get a sense of myself again. I still was unstable, not mentally, but even just emotionally, in a sense of not quite knowing myself enough, but well on the road to reacquainting myself with me and my connection to my higher source, my power, whatever you want to call it. I call it everything. It's the same thing for each of us, but we like to call it different names. Anyways, I was so excited that I had another chance at life. So this is what this song is about. It's about me letting go of addiction. The rope that I'd hung is literally my suicide attempt. The dark, black hooded man is an ex who was very, very challenging for me. And the pour on the balm of your love. And it's all about forgiveness and just a new, you know, cracks of light bounce off a web new spun. It's about new. We can recreate our lives at any moment, at any time. And that's what this song is about.
There are places in my heart from the space where love was torn apart. And these places are waiting for you. Unhealed spaces in my heart, from the place where faith and hope departed. Unhealed spaces are waiting for you. desire that I see.
Hi, my next song I'd like to talk about is My Body Bends. As an artist, I think sometimes I get frustrated with myself even because I'm thinking I should be more organized. But I have about 20 different songbooks that whatever's handy, I'll grab it. Sometimes I start a new one. I find things from years ago and forget things that I've written. I'm an organized person, but in this regard, I don't feel that I'm meant to be, and it's been part of my process. So Body Bends is interesting because I wrote the lyrics as a poem based on a dream I had. And in the dream, I saw myself from above. I was looking down at my body, me, lying down with my hair sprayed all, you know, across the top of my head. It's like I was on a bed or something, and I was bending in such a way, and I'm looking at my body going, what am I doing? I didn't quite understand it. And then I noticed around my head there were shards of red glass, and I start to kind of move my body in such a way that I was wanting to recreate the glass into a heart. That's the feeling, the sense that I had, that my heart had been broken, that it had smashed, and I was trying to get it to be one piece again. And when I woke up, the poem came to me. My body bends and attempts to mend the shattered pieces of red that lay around my head. And that was in August of 97. And then Kevin and I met each other in late 2000. And Kevin was a musician. I was just starting to get back into music at that time. I had put it down for many years because of my other life, I guess. And so he had some ideas for, I believe, some musical ideas, and I had this poem, and I had this melody, and we just kind of came together and created this. I love this piece of work because there's a vibe to it. There's a sense of, it takes me somewhere, and so it basically resonates the dream that I had. It's almost as if the dream became a reality in the music and in the song, and this is My Body Bends.
My body bends and attempts to mend the shattered pieces of red that lay around my head. Echoing screams silently waiting while my mind's cruel awakening to be misread. Time's presence reaches to the sun. Time's present.
And a bit of trivia that might be of some interest to some people is that All Dark Places was created prior to My Body Bends. And we had no idea that My Body Bends was even going to be a song at the time that All Dark Places was created. And so we had a Revolution Number 9 piece that was what we were going for in All Dark Places in the middle, where we just put a bunch of different sounds together, including Kevin's voice reciting the lyrics of My Body Bends. So the lyrics of My Body Bends is actually in All Dark Places if you listen for it. My final song is Sucker Number 93. It's my most recent solo song, I guess. We were actually getting ready to release it prior to Hologram coming together. And so it's like some of Ash's songs, her beautiful, beautiful songs, a little bit on the back burner. Who knows, these may become Hologram songs in the future. But for now, this was recorded. Actually, what started it for me, Sucker Number 93, I had an experience with a gentleman. And I was very inspired after the relationship with this gentleman to write about this kind of gentleman. And I think people can relate to me. It doesn't have to be a gentleman. It could be a lady. Anybody who basically isn't being truthful or being honest, and you put your feelings out there and you just go, how come? There's a lot of whys. And it's just because there's no honesty. There's no honesty in the relationship. And I never forget, I had a friend, a really good friend, and his vocation was fireman. And you know who you are if you're listening. Anyway, we were friends for many, many years. And I'll never forget him telling me that he would never, ever tell a woman that he wasn't interested. He would just hope she would go away. I would have discussions with him. Why aren't you letting her know you're not interested? Why are you making it seem and appear that you are? And he goes, well, it's easier. It's easier just for me to go away than for me to deal with it. And I'll never forget that. And so this song is about that. This song's kind of for you too, Tan, my friend, but it's really just about a relationship that I had. And it started with a keyboard line that I came up with. And then Kevin just came in and just really helped to shape the song and the lyrics. We had a big argument. And maybe sometimes we still are in not of the same mindset, but I wanted all those lyrics in the song, and he wanted me to clean it up and make them not have as many. And I stuck by it. I said, no, this story has to be told. So this is the story of me feeling like I'm just a sucker, number 93.
I've been duped, I've been spiked, I'm not treated like I'm liked, though you speak such flowery words to me.
I'm sucker number 93. I'm sucker number 93. I asked my friends if they seen you out of my way to drive by two. I'm not stuck in wondering why you gave sweet kisses with your lies. I'm not obsessed, I'm just confused. I cannot help but feel quite used. I pretend that I don't care. My heart's messed up, I'm well aware. I've been duped, I've been spiked. I'm not treated like I'm liked, though you speak such flowery words to me. I'm sucker number 93. Ladies are lustful for your charms. I was hoping you'd be true, but I just stepped on number 92. Another cliche guy, I'm sick of asking why or why. It is simply what you do, step on a heart so you can prove. I've been duped, I've been spiked, I'm not treated like I'm like, though you speak such flowery words to me. I'm sucker number 92.
I'm sucker number 93. Aren't you sick and tired of all these games?
I want to thank you all for listening to my songs and to my story around my songs. And I'd also like to say thank you to Kevin Stewart Swain for being a big part of those songs as well. And now, that being said, I am introducing you to Kevin Stewart Swain.
Hi, this is Kevin. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I came to this place in my life here, playing bass and producing and all that with Hologram. It's been kind of a long journey. And I'm going to go right back to the beginning here. I quit school just before my 16th birthday and joined a couple bands, got a couple of jobs too. So there's two bands. One was called Dirty Diamond Coal Company that had played my high school, so it was quite a thrill to join them. They became The Invasion. And another band was a fellow that called himself Brandon Wolf and actually turned out to be Barney Bentall. But I guess at that point in his career, he didn't... I'm guessing here, but I don't think he wanted everyone to know he was a Bentall, them being a rich Vancouver presence, kind of the Kennedys of Vancouver. So anyway, he called himself Brandon Wolf, and I got this gig with him, and it was amazing in a lot of ways. So what happened was, being in two bands was getting increasingly difficult. I wanted to just pick one, and I chose The Invasion. So I left Barney, and... Barney was already in the process of making his first record at Little Mountain. And interestingly enough, even though I'd left, they asked me to do the record, to honor doing the record. So I'd already left the band, and here we go into Little Mountain. We have, I'm 17 at this point, and we've got Paul Rudolph from Hawkwind and Brian Eno and the Pink Fairies producing. And Ron Obvious Engineering, who went on to be Brian Adams' right-hand man. He would build every studio Brian Adams ever had in his home and set up all the live stuff and just any of his recording needs. So these are two guys that one had done a lot already and one that was on to doing more. And we went in and did this record. The song I'm going to play for you, it's called Blonde on Blonde on Blonde, which is obviously a takeoff on the Bob Dylan title. And what had happened is, in a rehearsal, we've been doing this song, and as has happened to me a lot, co-writing seems to be something I fall into quite a bit. And I'm sure everyone in Hologram's sick of me saying this, but it was a chorus issue. I just didn't think the song had a chorus, so I suggested some different changes in a different chorus idea, which they latched onto right away, which is really cool, and ended up recording the tune. This independent record that we did actually led to them getting an A&M record deal where they re-recorded this song with Jim Vallance, who's another fellow from Brian Adams fame. But this version is the record we did with me on bass of my first successful co-write, a song called Blonde on Blonde on Blonde.
Got divorced last year, and now they just get friends. everybody else.
Now on to the next song. I was probably still 17, maybe 18, something like that, and I hooked up with an older musician, mid-20s kind of guy named Tag Campbell. He'd been a semi-pro hockey player who decided to follow his musical dreams, and we went out and did a duo and wrote music together and stuff. Now, I was a horrible singer, pretty questionable musician all around. Even though I'd had this Barney Bentall thing, I really couldn't play. And Tad was just so kind to me. So we went out and did this duo where we would often get fired, if not for my lack of skill, for the fact that I was and looked so young that they were afraid of having me in the bar. So we went off on this little road trip, and we're in Ashcroft, BC. We got fired. We went to Kamloops and got a hotel room for a few days until we could play our next gig and hopefully not get fired. So we're in Kamloops at a laundromat, and I'm talking to Tad. I'm going, you know that you do this cover of Taxman by the Beatles, and it's so creative and so different. If you stopped going, Taxman, 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 yeah, and did something like, Sandra doesn't live here anymore, and then I kind of came up with the idea of this, you know, going to some lady's house and she's gone and there's no real, you don't know where she's gone, it's this big mystery. So we went and took his cover version of the song and wrote lyrics to it and made it into an original song and kind of left it there. We did our duo stuff in a while, but Tad and I were always really volatile, and I think this little tour ended in Williams Lake where we had a blowout and I went home. Later on, he called me again, and I went out and played with the early version of his band Idolize, and that ended up in a fist fight in Alberta on stage over a Jerry Doucette song, which I ended up getting to play with him, actually. Yeah, so we just couldn't hang in there. But so a few years pass, and Idolize has got a record deal, and I'm hearing that they're doing this song, Sandra Doesn't Live Here. And then they got this great producer, Mike Beinhorn, that did Soundgarden and Courtney Love and stuff, and it's going to be a big deal. And so I think it's going to be an album cut, and then I'm finding out, no, it's going to be the single, and then it comes out, and it's nominated Best Song of the Year and all this kind of stuff. So again, just being in the right place, right time with a couple ideas and working on a chorus. And I got another co-write on a label, this time WEA. And this song's called Sandra Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Here's the last song. So as I was saying before, these two little kind of brushes with success I had were all, you know, both before I was even an adult, before I was 19. And I kind of thought, wow, it's just easy to land in these places. And, you know, it'll be easy when I finally get my head together to stick with one of these bands and do well. But about 10 years pass and the opportunity kind of comes up again. I kind of recognize it this time. It was the offshoot of a cover band I'd played in called One Track that had been really successful in the bar scene, but always wanted to do originals. So they'd come back to do originals, and so I kind of hesitantly joined this band called The Wake. And we ended up doing really well, like a huge buzz. It looked like we were going to get signed. And towards the end of all this hoopla, I'd started bringing some of my songs, and I brought in a song I wrote called Change Your Mind. Really did well. We got some airplay on it and stuff. And we got Dale Penner to do it in Mushroom Studios in Vancouver. Really great production. Brian McLeod from the Headpins kind of got involved and lent us some gear, and he was kind of... he was definitely supportive. I got to talk to him, which was really interesting, before he died. And yeah, I had a lot of faith in this band. And I would say this was the last band I've ever really played in until now, because I really think the reason we couldn't make it happen is some really bad decisions were being made in areas that I couldn't control. And I always thought, from now on, I'm going to be a solo guy. But you know, now I've worked with Cheryl, obviously, for years, and that's where I think my most fruitful co-writing and collaboration has happened, and it's really great to be in a band again, and so that's what's happening now. But as far as The Weight goes, here is a song called Change Your Mind.
What if I told you that I lied? What if we never said goodbye? Over, over, I say. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin Stewart Swain, for sharing your songs. Thank you, Ash Riot, for sharing yours. And thank you to all of you for listening to mine, to our backstory. Once again, we invite you to listen to our songs, to visit our website at hollow-gram.com or our MySpace page at myspace.com/hologrammusic. And in the meantime, we invite you to love, share the love, and kiss a tree.